And as I thought about it, I thought about how life in America tends to follow seasons. We tend to create a whole bunch of excitement based on things that we prepare for, and then when it comes, we celebrate it. And we start from January. We start with January being the month of New Year's resolutions. How many of you have a New Year's resolution already tucked in your back pocket, ready to pull out on January 1st, right? And so January comes, and so that whole month is about, this is what I'm going to do to improve myself, to make myself better, so that I can be able to say I achieved a goal. But January comes to an end, and when January ends, we enter into February, and right away we're thinking about, oh my goodness, Valentine's Day is around the corner. So you start preparing for Valentine's Day. If you already have someone that you love, you're trying to figure out what you're going to buy them, what surprise you're going to do, what you're going to do to make it all special. If you don't have anybody, you're trying to find somebody. Tell the truth. We all know what you're trying to do, right? And so Valentine's Day comes. And then Valentine's Day is kind of halfway through the month, and you're like, okay, what do we do with the rest of February? Well, if you're at Damascus, you celebrate Black History Month, right? And that's something that other people celebrate, not just because they go to African American churches. Maybe you learn about it in school. Then March hits, and it's time for Lent. Takes you all the way through Easter, out into April, and you have this great, amazing celebration. If you're part of the worship team, if you're part of the leadership, you know that Resurrection Day is a big deal, and you start planning for it, maybe even in January, depending on what church you go to, right? But you're planning for this great, amazing day where you can be able to announce and celebrate what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. And after Resurrection Day, what is it? May. Oh my goodness, Mother's Day. You gotta do something special for your mother. You can't just, You can't just faff around. You gotta prepare. You have to think of a place where you're going to take her for brunch, right? Or if you're not going to take her for brunch, you have to prepare brunch. You have to make sure all the siblings are available. If they're out of town, you have to figure out, what are you guys going to do to make mom feel special on Mother's Day? And yeah, that is, you know, second week of May, but still, it's a big deal. And after Mother's Day, since you bought her something fancy to wear and you bought yourself something fancy to wear, you might as well celebrate the whole month of May and just call it, celebration of spring. Why not? Because it makes sense since it's May and we have something good to do. But then there comes Father's Day. You can't forget your fathers. Doesn't matter how you feel about them. You gotta prepare for your fathers. And so we have 3 weeks this time to prepare for Father's Day. But guess what? Father's Day is also close to the celebration of summer, which is such a wonderful thing, especially if you're here in Seattle. You cannot fail to celebrate summer. And so you kind of combine Father's Day with the celebration of barbecue season, right? And you buy your father a whole bunch of things so that he has to work on his day, right? Because you want him to grill something to show that he's a wonderful father, right? And while he's grilling, you whisper in his ear and say, Dad, since it is summer and we are celebrating seasons, summer goes all the way till the end of August here in Seattle. So you might as well start planning what? Our summer vacation, right? And if you're graduating, that might overshadow Dad's Father's Day, but you tell him, Dad, be excited because I graduated just to show you how good of a father you are. And maybe you might be someone who's in the age range where you're supposed to be getting married or want to get married, desire to get married. Guess what summer is also? What? Wedding season. So if you're not a bride or not a groom, you might be a bridesmaid or you might be a groomsman. It doesn't really matter, but it's an opportunity to celebrate. It's an opportunity to party. Why? Because it's June, July, or August. Who cares? It doesn't really matter, but we celebrate seasons here in America. That is what we do. And when September comes, we got to do something for September. We got to get ready for school. And in Seattle, get ready for the rainy season. Can't forget about that rain. And as we prepare for October, we go into our fall festivals, celebrating the spectacular glory of the trees changing color because it's October, in preparation for November, when we get ready for Thanksgiving the whole entire month. Again, calling the siblings to find out who's coming to make Thanksgiving special and who are we not inviting to make sure that Thanksgiving remains full of gratitude. Let's put it that way. And as soon as Thanksgiving is over, we clear the table, wash the plates, and watch that clock for midnight because of the Black Friday sale. You gotta shop on the Black Friday sale. And if you're techie like me and you don't like going to the stores, then you also wait until Monday. So you use Friday, Saturday, Sunday to browse the internet, because what you're going to do instead of going to the stores, you're going to what? Pounce on Cyber Monday, because that's even more fun. And you're going to get something for yourself. But because it's end of November and you're getting ready for what? The spectacular season of Christmas. You're going to buy something for somebody. And so everything that you do for the rest of November and the whole part of December is all focused on Christmas. And we get to Christmas. At church, we celebrate Advent. And so you go through this process of remembrance, a process of reflecting on the coming of Jesus, not just his first coming, but you also focus on his second coming. You focus on faith, you focus on hope, you focus on joy, you focus on peace. You ask the question, what does it mean for Jesus to come? What is the significance of him coming to us as a baby? What is the significance of the incarnation? And you ask all of these questions so that on December 25th, when you light that last candle, you can be able to truly and fully celebrate what Christmas is. But once again, after Christmas ends, you still need to figure out what you're going to celebrate. And that's kind of the problem. Because after Christmas, it's like, so now what? I mean, some people might be saying they're excited about celebrating the new year, but you don't really celebrate the new year until December 31st. So what exactly are you doing between December 26th and December 30th? Jesus came. So now what? And I know some of you at the back are looking at me like, okay, so what does this have to do with what she just read? You know, she just read to us about the Magi coming, and she read about Joseph. Where exactly is she going with this? I'm glad that you asked, especially you over there, right? So here's the deal. When you read the text that we read in Matthew, it's really impossible for you to read it without thinking and reflecting about what you already know about the Gospel of Luke. It's kind of like if I asked you to read that text and ignore everything that Luke said, it's like you're on a jury and I'm a judge, and I say to you when a lawyer says something, I say, Serena, disregard what the lawyer just said. You can't. Why? Because you already heard it. You already know it. And so even if you don't want it to influence what you're going to decide at the end of the day, it is going to influence it. And so let's go ahead and let it do what it does, right? And so when you see Joseph here in this scripture, Joseph is a man who has had an angel appear to him. And an angel is not just appearing to him, but it's an angel who appeared to a bunch of other people. I don't know how you would feel if an angel appeared to you. I know one day I was at home praying. This is silly, but I was at home praying and I was lying on the floor and I said, Lord, why don't you reveal yourself to us the way that you revealed yourself to Moses? And as I was praying, I think I must have fallen asleep. And I had the sliding door open and I had those blinds, the long ones that go from the ceiling down to the floor. And all of a sudden I heard this rustling, but it wasn't the normal rustling that you get, like when wind just blows. It sounded like the rustling that you get when someone is pushing the blinds and walking into the room. I kid you not, I'm lying on the floor and I jumped up this high, like this. I went, ah! And while I was midair, I started laughing. And then I fell back down to the ground. And I said, oh, that's why you don't reveal yourself to us the way that you revealed yourself to Moses. Because it makes you so terrified, not necessarily in a bad way, but there's just something that happens when you encounter the presence of God that just makes you jump out of your skin. It's that awe, it's that glory, it's that holiness, it's that splendor, right? And so with all of that said, that's kind of the reason why God said, when I come, I'm going to come in the form of a baby, so that you're not terrified, right? So that you're not afraid, so that you don't run away, but so that you draw closer. So God sends an angel, and he sends the angel to Zechariah, and he gives Zechariah a promise, and he says, hey, old man, guess what? God's going to do something amazing with you, not just with your old self, but with your menopausal wife. God is going to give you a son, right? That's amazing. That's spectacular. And this person happens to be cousins with Mary, who happens to be engaged to Joseph. So the angel didn't just appear to Joseph. The angel appeared to people that Joseph knew. The angel appeared to Mary as well and said to her, guess what, virgin who knows nobody, you're going to give birth to a son. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that show you how great God is? And so Joseph is carrying all of this information and this knowledge about how wonderful God is. And if I was Joseph, I would probably be thinking, wow, God chose me. God knows me. God sees me. God loves me. And so when God sends the angel to say to him, this child that you're going to carry is going to be the savior of the world, it clicks in his head when God says to him through the angel that this child is also God who is with us. There's just something amazing about holding a baby. I didn't bring a PowerPoint presentation because I'm not really a PowerPoint person, but here's my prop. You're Joseph. I want you to imagine you're Joseph. And you receive this word, right? And even though things are going crazy, like you suddenly get this announcement that you got to take your highly pregnant wife on this long distance trip. I don't know if you've been around pregnant women. Pregnant women are not fun to travel with. You know, they need a lot of bathroom breaks. They need to snack a lot. They can be kind of moody and grumpy. Put one on a donkey and see what happens, right? It's not cool, right? But there you are, and you make this journey, you make this trek. Why? Because you're anticipating the coming of Jesus. You're anticipating something that God has promised. And so even though everything is rough, you're still holding on to this excitement, this joy, this faith, this hope, this peace. And you get to Bethlehem, and it's not necessarily the greatest place in the world. You don't get to stay in the Four Seasons. You have to stay in a barn and put the baby in a manger, right? But you're cool because you're inside. And you're cool because it's warm, because the animals make it warm. And as you hold that little baby, even though where you are is not the best, I'm sure you can't help but say, God sees me. God knows me. God chose me. God is faithful. God speaks to me. God is with me. And then to make things even more exciting, as you put that baby in the manger, you get these strangers that you don't even know coming to your house to tell you, guess what, we're throwing you a baby shower because an angel invited us to come and see this baby that you're holding. And as they come in, they celebrate and they rejoice. And so they're the shepherds that come. And soon after the shepherds leave, then you get the magi. They come too, and they say they followed a star to where you are. And that's when you realize that even before you were ready to hold this baby, God was already preparing people to come and meet and greet you as you held this baby. Because they didn't just wake up one day and start traveling. They came from another country. So they'd been traveling for a long time. It's not like taking an airplane, right? And so they traveled before the baby was born so that they would be there when the baby was born. And together you all look at this wonderful, precious baby and you say, God sees me. God knows me. God loves me. God speaks to me. God is faithful. And as you ride that season to the high point, Joseph kind of asked the same question that we're asking. Now that Jesus is here, so now what? There's some psychologists that say that a lot of us spend a lot of our time pursuing happiness, right? How many of you want to be happy? Nobody wants to be happy? Oh, y'all, okay. Thank you for being honest, right? And so sometimes we pursue happiness. And so even in what I was telling you about all of these seasons that we celebrate, it's really about trying to be happy, right? But what they say is that pursuit of happiness actually doesn't benefit us as much as we think it does. What it actually does is it leads to depression. The thing that makes you really, really happy, or the thing that gives you joy, is when you realize that your life has a purpose. And so just as an example, there's an example of a young man who, he was a super amazing football player. And he thought that that was what made him happy. he had an accident, and after the accident, he was paralyzed. And at the beginning, he focused on, life was great when I could play football. Now that I can't play football, life is not great at all. And it took him down into this, so now what, depression. But when he realized that there's power in our story, power in our narrative, he started to change what he focused on. And instead of pursuing happiness, he started to look for purpose in his life. And he realized, even though I'm paralyzed, I can still mentor young football players. I can still mentor young people. I can still give advice and wisdom and counsel to people who are younger than me. And so that's what he started to do. And so when people asked him, what's going on with you? What's your story? He said, before I was paralyzed, my life had no purpose. But since I've become paralyzed, I now see what I'm called for. I now see what I'm supposed to do. And so in that space of the so now what, we enter into a place where we can either be depressed, despondent, hopeless, right? And be thinking there's nothing there and get more and more unhappy. Or we can do what Joseph did and ask the question, what should I be doing in that so now what space, right? And what we realize in the text is Matthew is telling us what we should do when Jesus comes is the same thing that we should have done and should be is the same thing we did before Jesus came. What we have to do is look back, and if you look in the text, you'll see in verse 13, the angel tells Joseph clear instructions what he should do. He says, get up, take the child, take his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. And then if you skip down to verse 14 and 15, it says Joseph did just that. He got up, and during the night he took the child and he took the mother, and he stayed there until Herod died. What Joseph did in that so what now moment is Jesus acted on right now obedience. He didn't hesitate. He didn't say, okay, angel, can you give God a message and tell him I need to figure out my credit card statement, pay off this hotel, and then after I buy Christmas presents, then I'll move and I'll go to Egypt. No, he moved right now. And if you look at chapter 1, you see that when the angel came to Joseph back then, the angel said to him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And it says, and Joseph did just that. So before the baby came, Joseph acted on right now obedience. And the reason why he acted on that right now obedience is because even though Jesus hadn't come yet, he still held in his heart the words that the angel said to him that made him say, God sees me, God knows me, God chose me, God loves me, God has a purpose for me, and God is faithful. And so even in that moment where Herod is now hurling insults and saying, I'm coming for your kid, and I'm coming to take the tangible thing that God has given you, right? That promise that you received 9 months ago has now been made manifest. You're now physically holding what God said. That's an amazing thing. And in that moment, instead of going into despondency, Joseph kept on doing after Christmas what he had done before Christmas. And so the question that I have for you is, what is it, what word of God, what knowledge has God given you about himself that you're holding on to help you make it through that so what now moment? What is it that you know about God that you're holding on to that'll give you the strength and the energy and the perseverance and the endurance that you need to overcome whatever is taking you down in your so what now week? Because sometimes we might be reflecting on, I don't know, the New Year's resolution that you didn't fulfill. Or maybe if you're in high school, you're full of anxiety as a senior because you're starting to think about when January comes, I'm getting closer and closer to graduation. And even though my family is excited about it, I'm nervous because I don't know what to do when I graduate. Because when I graduate, I'll be holding a so what now moment. Or maybe you're in sixth grade or eighth grade and you're resonating with Joseph because you understand the fear of going into Egypt, into an unknown place. Because when you started sixth grade or you started eighth grade, you walked into an unknown, you didn't have any friends because it was a new school. And you're trying to navigate, what do I do in this place? Even though you've been there since September, it's still new for you, right? So what are you holding on to that's going to sustain you? And if you don't have anything to hold on to, I'm going to give you something. What you hold on to is you hold on to that promise that God is giving you. You hold on to his word, because Jesus is the word of God. And so you don't need a physical little baby to hold, or a doll or whatever. You know, just for dramatic effect, I'm wrapping up my Bible, right? Because this is it. It's precious. Nurture it. Cherish it. Take care of it, right? But you don't just keep it bundled up. You got to read it, right? Interact with it. If you have a baby and you don't interact with it, that baby ends up becoming depressed, right? And that baby ends up being the one that comes to your house and kills you in the middle of the night. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you the truth. So what you want to do is you want to interact with the Word of God, right? Make that the New Year's resolution that you hold on to. Forget about all of these diet fads, or I'm going to get my body all cut up and ripped, and I'm going to lose 10 pounds, and I'm going to find myself somebody, and I'm going to be somebody, all that stuff. Let this be the thing that transforms your body. Let this be the thing that transforms your mind. I guarantee when you eat this, you will start to change what you put on your plate. Because when you read that scripture that says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Lord? How can you fail to eat a carrot, right? You're going to do it. It's going to happen. But you got to believe that as you read this, God is telling you that you are chosen, that he sees you, that he knows you, that he loves you, and that he's faithful. And so then you end up changing your so now what, which is a question of anxiety and despair, into a so now, because you know what you need to do. So now I need to keep on being obedient. So now I need to do what I was doing the day before, which is following Christ and loving him and serving him. So now I need to give myself to him more than I did yesterday. So now I need to love him more than I did yesterday. And if you're someone like me and you like words and you like to hold on to things and you're asking in the back of your mind, what do I do with that what? If you want, you can keep it. But this is how you would say it. You would say, because God loves me, because God sees me, because he knows me, so now I can walk in obedience. And anyone who says that I can't, this is what I got for them. What? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are God who is faithful. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're not scared of our what now moments or our what now questions. We thank you, Lord, that you are God who sees us, who knows us, who has a plan and a purpose for us, that you are God who invites us into your plan, into your story of redemption and grace, and that through scripture we can see who you are and know you better, that as we grow in knowledge of you, Lord God, that you change and transform us into the likeness of your Son. We ask, Lord, a special blessing upon Seattle Chinese Alliance Church. And we just pray, Lord God, for the work that you're doing among them and in them. We pray, Lord God, that they would continue to be a light in this community, that as people meet them and encounter them, that they would know that God is with them, that they would know that you are God who is holy, that you are God who is awesome, that you are God who is amazing, that you are God who is healer, redeemer, restorer, God who reconciles, God who brings us back to you. And we pray for Damascus as well. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our connection, our unity, and our partnership would send a message of hope to this city, that people would see that we are indeed your disciples because of the love that we share among one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.